This seance was recorded on the 14th of September 1972, medium Leslie Flint.
I mean, it seems to speak upon the matter, whereas it might be much harder for some people who might have something worthwhile to say.
Excuse me.
Well, you do.
Oh, well, I hope you would say that. Well, of course we've had, we've got some marvelous things. Well, I mean, I'd rather not to say that what you say about being somewhere other than it was, you know. I put you first. Thank you. I might be facetious. Facetious as you call it. Oh, we do our best, but some things do tire sometimes. So they just leave it to me.
Is there anyone around that we know, from the past to the present, whatever they have? Ricky? If no one is Ricky, it's amusing.
What is that that you want me to say, love?
I'm prepared to talk seriously or differently, whichever you prefer. What I'd like to know, could you tell us what happens when, such as at Olympic Games, suddenly people were wiped out?
What happens immediately, sort of following that,
in most instances? I know you can't generalize completely.
When something like that happens, people from our side go to their rescue to help them. The victims, that is, as you put it. But, there's very little one can do. I mean, a situation arises and things happen and conditions are affected and many people are caught up in it, really. Indeed, sometimes thousands of people indirectly, and their vibrations to some extent are also caught up in it or affected. I mean, exactly what you're supposed to say.
Well, I thought perhaps you could say, tell us if there is a certain contingent, what you might call it, of souls who have dedicated themselves
to
things like that. And do they receive a mental message or something that they have, they go to wherever this, they are required to help someone over something?
Groups or bands of people whose task it is.
No, I'm not trying to tell you what to tell me.
No, I know you're not. But, you see, I suppose perhaps you don't see things quite the same way that we do, obviously, don't.
But, well, that's the one of the points why we sit, because we want to try to see them the way we should.
Oh, Brahms.
Sorry.
People on this side who have the welfare of people on other parts are ever conscious of the many needs that must arise by the very nature of things. What sometimes appears to you on the surface to be something that happens spontaneously or is of a shock is nothing of the sort. most things that happen to humanity, whatever that form they may take, are often premeditated or prearranged, or if they're in another sense, quite apart from what you were talking about, the Olympic Games, most things, in fact, I think it's true to say that everything that happens in your world is obviously happening, or has happened, or will happen, because man himself has brought about the very conditions that create the circumstances and the events that follow. Nothing happens just by chance. Nothing is preordained. And everything that takes place is man's own bringing into being in some shape or form. What happened at the Olympic Games couldn't have been avoided. I know there are instances or cases where certain things are sidetracked and they don't happen, although there's every reason to think that they could have happened, or perhaps in some cases should have happened. Sometimes things are, it's possible for sometimes some people, perhaps on this side or even on your side, to be used as instruments to intervene to prevent something from happening. But you can be well assured that whatever happens in your world, in some shape or form, or in some way or other, man has brought it upon himself. If man thinks wrongly, then from those seeds, which are sown, will come wrong actions. Whether it is in a personal way, an individual way, or whether it is in a collective way, or a worldwide way, nothing is chance. Nothing just happens by chance. Nothing is ordained or prearranged or preordained. Everything happens because man has made it possible for it to happen. He has sown seeds that must bring forth fruit, whether it's good or bad. I mean, this is as simple as that. I mean, sometimes people say, well, why should this happen to that person? They're quite innocent. Or why should this happen to someone who's led a blameless life? On the surface, it seems unjust. But it's not necessarily so, because you will see things in a very personal way. Instead of seeing yourselves as part and parcel of all humanity, and that what happens to you or what you do to another must in the long run also affect you. In other words, what you've got to get into your bonnets is that everything happens because you will it to happen, even subconsciously or unconsciously sometimes, or certainly you sow the seeds that make it happen. No one can escape from himself. And whatever may happen in some shape or form, you have brought it into being. Or if you haven't, to some extent you have made it possible for other people associated with you or around and about you, you have made it possible for it to happen, whatever it may be. Nothing just happens by chance. Seeds are sown, things are done, things are said. And these things are vibrant things, they're realities, they're things which must, by the very nature of things, have an effect. It's all a matter of cause and effect. And the Olympic Games, which when you analyse it, on the surface may have seemed a very natural, straightforward, spiritual thing in a foundation of spirit, good spirit, was nothing of the sort. It was really, when you analyse it in many, many ways, it was a big complex in which money, a vast amount, was involved, competitive spirit of one nation against another. Individuals were used, often innocently and indiscriminately. The whole setup was false. And when you have falsehood, you have seeds that bring all sorts of things in their wake. You cannot put people together in a competitive way without bad thoughts arising and bad intentions developing and bad acts following. You may not think this explains away what happened, but those sort of things can't be avoided. It happened and it was unfortunate, it was a dreadful thing. And one thing leads to another, and you'll find that this will reoccur, and on a larger scale, whether it's in that direction or the other direction. When man sows seeds, he must reap the harvest. And this is what's happening all over the world, whether it's in Ireland, whether it's in Vietnam, or whether it's at the Olympic Games, or whether it's in a family, or even between two human beings who profess to love each other. They are sowing seeds, they are creating situations, and from those situations will arise discord, strife, disharmony, sickness, mental, physical, and this is what life's all about. Until people realise that they must not sow these seeds, they must try to live harmoniously, and they must try to do those things which they know to be just, right and honourable. Until you get man put right individually, you can't set the world to be right collectively. You've just got to set your house in order before you start thinking about what goes on outside. The whole world's in chaos because men are in chaos. They're enchained. They're caught up so much with material things that they can't see the reality. They only see the things which are around and about them, the things that are tangible, and the things which they know deep down within themselves don't bring happiness or security, or real security or peace of mind. They're all running after the wrong things. And this is what brings tragedy and sickness and ill health and unhappiness and all the terrible things that happen. It's because man's running after the wrong values. Well, I've answered your question, have I?
In fact, Mickey, by what you just said, that I deduce from that that people on the other side were almost aware that some tragedy, what we call a tragedy, was going to occur. So there would be helpers round there waiting for it, and in a way.
All around the world. Every inch of the world, there are people on our side waiting to help. Whether it's a car accident, a train accident, an aeroplane accident, or someone is drowning at sea, or whether it's an Olympic tragedy, or whatever. Thousands of souls on this side who love humanity, who want to be of service, are always at the ready to be there at that given moment. They may not be able to do very much in the material sense, and it's not until the moment comes for the individual of the earth to leave the physical body and enter into the spiritual realization that we can do very much. This is, in a sense, our tragedy. All we can ever hope to do, or so it seems, at the moment anyway, is to help people in a spiritual sense when they're about to pass from your world to this. The great tragedy is that we cannot seem to do very much to help you spiritually while you're on earth. For the vast majority of people are so caught up in self, they're so caught up in their own personal affairs, material affairs, and the affairs of that particular group or country or nation or war or dispute over whatever it may be. They're so full of, well, I regret to say this, but it's so true. There's so much malice, there's so much hatred, there's so much intolerance in the hearts of most of humanity. Even sometimes the nicest of people, they have these moments of rage and intolerance and pettiness and stupidity, but it's very difficult to reach them. We can only reach people when their minds are open to receive, when they begin to realise the true values are the spiritual ones. That doesn't mean to say that you've got to neglect material things or that you've got to shut your eyes to problems which are of a material nature. But all these things can to some extent be helped, and they sometimes can be solved. In other words, what you've got to do is to try to see that you should have balance, that you should put everything into its proper perspective, and that if you want peace, if you want happiness, if you want a realization of what life could be, then you've just got to adjust yourself accordingly, and you've got to give out love, even though it may be very difficult, even though at times you feel it's almost impossible. And I know it's difficult often to turn the other cheek, but the only way that man will find sanity, the only way that man will find peace, the only way that he'll find harmony is through turning the other cheek. I mean, wars, they develop through stupidities, often of a few individuals, thousands of people, millions of people suffer in consequence. And it's often due to stupid pride and place and position and false values. The world is thriving, if you can put it like that in a material sense, entirely and absolutely on false values. The world hasn't realized that the realities are not the things of the earth. They have their position in that place, they're important, but they're not the be-all and the end-all. They're only an aspect. They're only a very small part of what it's all about. You just got to see things in the proper way. I mean, it seems to me that man just goes on making the same old mistakes, only on a much faster and a bigger scale. Man doesn't learn from the past, unfortunately. He repeats his mistakes over and over and over again, whether it's in a small way or whether it's in a big way. Man, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be capable of putting his house in order. And it seems to me that man is so dissatisfied, and yet at the same time he doesn't want to exert himself to do what he should do or what he knows he should do. He just wants everything to fall into his lap in the material sense without often making much of an effort. And even if he gets what he thinks he should have or want, it doesn't bring him real happiness. Indeed, often it makes for more squabbles, more uncertainties, more headaches, more problems. Only man could have balance and realize that he could live in a material world with a spiritual significance, and that he could conduct his life, and he can conduct not only himself, but help others to conduct themselves in such a way that the world could be changed. There's no need for all that goes on, but man creates it, man sows the seeds, and therefore he asks for these troubles and they descend from him. All the illness, all the sickness, all the things that go wrong in your world can only be traced to man himself. No one else can be blamed. People say, oh, when they're in trouble, why does God allow this? And why does God permit this? God's got nothing to do with it. He gives man free will. And generations of time pass and he goes on doing the same stupid things and creating havoc and creating even new situations where worse things develop. I mean, this is true. I mean, there's no doubt about this in my mind, that whatever befalls man in some shape or form, he brings it on himself. He deserves it. And it's the only way he's going to learn any lessons. He may not reap the benefit of his experience, unpleasant though it may be on earth, but when he comes here, it won't have been in vain. This may not be much comfort to people, but the point is, the truth is, you can't escape from yourself. You can run this way, you can run that way, you can do this, you can climb up the bloody ladder and get dizzy, but you can't run away from yourself. That's one thing you'll never do. One day you've got to come up face to face with yourself squarely, and then you'll see, and then you'll begin to understand that it's in your hands and no one else's. You can help other people and they can help you to a certain extent, but it still falls back on the human individual. To some extent, he must set his house in order, and the house is within himself. And as Christ said, that it's within oneself, the power is within oneself, and this is the whole truth of the matter. Get right with yourself, and you'll get right with the world, to some extent. You may not be understood by the world, you may be derided by the world, you may be kicked up the arse, but it doesn't alter the fact that if you're right with yourself, you're on the right path, mate. Oh, no.
Yeah, one point. What about earthquakes? Was there a natural phenomenon?
Oh, well, of course, earthquakes, things like that are natural phenomena. But then again, let's face it, what are we talking about? All laws are natural. These are all natural laws.
Yes.
Well, things I'm talking about are natural laws. If you disturb nature within yourself, then nature will rebel. And certain things will have take place or happen. I mean, all this illness, like this business that goes on, the sickness, it can all be put down to offending nature's laws. It may not be you that's done it. You may say this is unjust. But it's true to say that the sins of the fathers do fall on the children. This may sound unjust, but it's true. These things are hereditary as well. And these things, you see, if you can see yourself not as part of a family, that is a father and a mother or an uncle and aunt, And if you can see yourself as part of the whole human race, if one aspect of the human race suffers from some new disease or whatever develops, then they would eventually, even if it's only one odd person getting loose in another part of the world, they will spread there. You cannot run away from each other. You cannot run away from natural consequences or whatever may happen. If you're going to, as you are, polluting the atmosphere, polluting the seas, polluting the ground, in other words, you go on polluting, polluting people's minds, you pollute the atmosphere that you breathe, you pollute the ground from which grows your food, and the seas, everything. But of course man's going to suffer. Man has made this, nobody else. God didn't invent the motor car. God didn't invent the aeroplane. God didn't invent the train that kills people and crashes. Everything man has brought on himself.
Yes.
And I'm not so sure in some strange odd way that perhaps man even brings earthquakes on.
Mm.
I wouldn't say, I don't know. But it would never surprise me.
Right. Don't suppose for a moment underground atomic tests help.
Oh, well, that earthquake's for atomic bombs.
Yes, I know, but I mean, it's not helping. But then, that, as you said, it's
you
a natural phenomenon. It's something to do with the settling.
You can't disturb nature without nature having its revenge. It's not a nice word, but it's a natural law. You can't affect nature without nature taking some reaction. It's bound to happen.
No, but nature sometimes affects herself, doesn't she? You know, like an earthquake.
Yeah, well, but nature probably changes too.
Yes, of course.
I mean, over centuries, aeons and aeons and aeons, as you term it, a time. I mean, of course, I don't see how you can get away from this. I mean, man creates stupid ideas, and he creates mythological things, and he thinks that they are realities, and then he allows himself to get caught up in something, and then a group of people become a whole mass of people, and that mass of people think they're right and everybody else is wrong, and then you get big organisations outbidding each other, and then you get massacres because this lot can't agree with that lot. The whole of the world is full of stupidity, of man not realising the great potential of the power of the spirit within himself. And if he would follow out that power of the spirit and get rid of all the stupidities that create disruptions, and then the whole world could be changed. Anyway, I don't put it posh, I mean, but I put it.
I think I'm not.
No, I'm not. But it distresses us at times, it distresses me sometimes. I mean, I think to myself, oh, blimey, what's the good? You know, you go on. You talk to people, you try to help people, you comfort people. And then you say to yourself, what the hell are they doing with it? Nothing.
I think fundamentally, Mickey, the majority of people, I include myself in this, are selfish.
Yeah, well,
but not always conscious of being selfish.
Not being consciously of selfishness. I mean, you run down the Australian Army, but it does a lot of good. A lot of those people work really hard and give themselves. We know that at the higher end, that there's all the money involved and all that posh, you know. But the point is that it's a people, and yet they have got something dynamic to make them be the way they are, to do the things they do. It may not be 100% correct in a sense. I mean, they've got a germ of truth, but that germ of truth gives them a dynamic meaning. And what's going on with spiritualists? That's what worries me.
Why do you bring them themselves on?
Well, because I think they're typical. And you were to South Alex Station Army and told your sister, and I think they're a good example. I mean, they do wonderful work in the world. They help people less fortunate and struggling people, poor people and sick people. And you know, I sort of feel that, I don't know, everything we tell people, we try to give them conviction and we give it and we uplift them to some extent, but very few people try to do anything, neither does it change their lives in the way in which it should. I mean, we can look around us all the time and we see, in spite of all that we've tried to do and the comfort we've tried to give and the help, that people haven't changed very much. They're still at each other's throats and, you know, I don't know, it's very disheartening.
Could you go on?
Well, what else can you do?
Mickey, where does karma come into all this?
I wouldn't know. Who's he? I know what you mean.
In a perfect world, would that mean?
Well, it's just what he's been talking about, the law of consciousness, isn't it?
Yes, but what, let's talk about the actual people who are living in a town that is hit by an earthquake. Is it preordained that these souls, all those souls...
No, nothing is preordained.
No, because of a series of actions on the part of themselves and their parents. It's not that they've been chosen to be
part of it,
but it's as a result
of... I think the whole trouble is that a lot of people just don't like this idea of dying. Yeah, I mean, they know that when they get to a reasonable age that they're almost certainly got to keep the lucky. But it's an extraordinary thing how even people of a very religious nature, who are deeply involved, you might say, and are probably very good people, there is this sort of terrible fear. They don't seem to see death in the right way. Death is not as terrible. I mean, you may say to yourself it's dreadful when something happens and a little village is wiped out by an avalanche or whatever. But it isn't as terrible in the reality as it may seem in the thinking about it. You see, I think it is that people put too much store on living in your world in a material sense, and therefore the idea of death is horrific to them. Something that, oh well, we know it's got to happen, but it shouldn't happen till you're 80 or 90 or what. Just because a person dies young, and you might say to yourself, well, they haven't had much chance to express themselves or evolve, it's not necessarily so. You see, I think that you put too much store. This is the whole tragedy, I suppose, that man puts too much store on the short duration of his life. Even if it's 100 years, it's still short in time. I think that one has to get right with oneself, that death is not the terrible thing that it appears, and it's not the length of one's earthly life that's important. The fact is that your life is merely an interlude. In some cases it may have to be repeated, but the point is that it is, in a sense, in time itself insignificant, and yet it is important, no one denies that. I think man puts too much store on the material, that's his tragedy, and anything that happens in a material way that seems untoward seems a terrible tragedy. What may seem a tragedy may not necessarily be so in reality. It may be something that was necessary, although it was not ordained, and the circumstances of it may be brought about by some disaster, which you might even say was a natural disaster to do with nature itself. But I think the whole tragedy is that man puts too much store on materialism, on material things. And everything that happens in that life of yours is vitally important, and everything else is insignificant. Actually, in a way, he's got the wrong end of the stick. What man should have is balance, and man is not balanced. If he could give everything a real significance and realize the importance of your world, that it is a place in which you have to learn certain lessons. You may not necessarily learn them in one lifetime. You may have to come back. In some cases, people do. But don't judge things only on this material level. This is a tragedy. Everybody thinks everything's a tragedy because it's material. Often it is a tragedy. It should never happen. It's true. Certainly wars and terrible things that happen to individuals would not happen. But man creates a setup. Man creates the staging of it and brings it into being. Actually, man all the time is rehearsing next year's tragedy. Man doesn't realize this. Actually, in a kind of way, as old Shakespeare said, life's a stage and the men and women merely players. And it's perfectly true. All the time you're getting ready for next year's performances in your own personal lives and in the world life, the tragedy of life. Man is creating the situation. He's organizing things, he's stage managing it. I mean, all these things don't just happen. They happen because man prepares them. Man organizes them. Man arranges them. He may not always be conscious of what he's got to say or what he's got to do. But somewhere along the line, everything is organized. Organized by man himself in advance, and the rest follows after. But you can't get away from it. This is what's happening all the time. Man is organizing what is going to happen in the not far distant future, and he can't get away from it. If you sow seeds, they've got to come up in due course as weeds or flowers according to what he's sowing. The point is, you can't escape from yourself. whether you will like it or whether you don't. Whatever happens in your world, in some shape or form, man has made a contribution towards bringing it into being. Whether it's sickness or illness, or whether it's war, or whatever it may be, like what you're saying, the Olympic Games. Hatred, malice, intolerance, wrong thinking brings forth wrong action. And wrong action brings disaster and tragedy and bloodshed and unhappiness. Man does all this himself. Nobody else does it.
One point may be observed, I think, with a lot of people, it is not so much dying that they don't like to think of. It is the process of dying, whether there is pain involved.
Well, this is again understandable. Naturally, nobody wants to suffer.
But so someone in an avalanche, okay, they might not worry at all about dying.
But if they are
impaled under something or something like that, and they know they are dying, and they're dying in great agony and pain, this is not helpful, is it?
No, I'm not saying it's helpful. Who's suggesting for a moment it's helpful?
No, but that's what I think lots of people are concerned with. They are concerned with the pain and the process
of
dying.
Yes, of course they are, but it's human and natural that you do not want to go through agonizing pain. No one denies this, but the point is that there is no doubt in my mind that way back in dim time, when man was perfect, at least there was not many of the things that you now call tragedies happening. Man hadn't reached the stage where he was creating or setting up situations, whether they were to do with health or whether they were to do with, well, various things that happen in the world through religion and intolerance, or whether it is from national point of view, wars and what have you. I mean, you say your progress, you say that you have got to a higher peak, or at least people assume they have, where they're highly intelligent and all the rest of it, where science has made great strides forward. But this is stupid. It may be in some sense as an advance, but it isn't in a spiritual advance. It isn't an advance that really brings man to any real form of happiness or realization of truth. The whole point is that man is constantly creating new situations, creating new things which bring in their wake all manner of problems and troubles and uncertainties. These things all develop because man, I'm not saying that man shouldn't be inventive, that man shouldn't be progressive, he was intended to be, obviously, but most things, or a lot of things that man brings into being, instead of using them for the good of humanity, he uses them for the destruction. I mean, you cannot get good out of evil. I feel very strongly on some of these things because I think that man is all the time experimenting. He's using other people. Or if he's not using other people, he's using the animal kingdom for his own ends. He thinks nothing of torturing thousands of helpless little creatures for his own ends. I mean, no good can come of this. Only another form of evil will come from it. All right, you think you find a cure for something, do you? Don't kid yourself. Some may be cured by that, but from that will come all sorts of offsprings and offshoots which will be detrimental to humanity. New things will develop which man never thought could exist, which will be diabolical. I am convinced that no good will ever come from man's inhumanity to man or man's cruelty to the less fortunate or the defenseless. Love is the only predominating factor that will bring into your world the realization of what life is all about and what the will and the intention of the supreme power means. The tragedy with your world, as long as it can find or think it can find some sort of way out of a difficult situation which is not going to be too involving or is not going to
be too self-serving.
Well, you know, the whole tragedy of your world is that man thinks only of self. He doesn't care how he gets what he wants as long as he gets it. He doesn't care who suffers as long as he's all right. He doesn't care how many thousands of innocent creatures are tortured to death as long as he is cured. Why should man consider that he's so important? I mean, I know that man is important, but you're all part of the same creation. You're all part of God's creation. And until you can learn to live in harmony and in love together, until you can sacrifice yourselves willingly for the good of others and for the realization that you're all walking towards a certain point or goal, and you can do it in harmony and in love and in brotherhood, until you get the right aspect of these things, of course you'll have hatred, malice, intolerance. Of course you'll have wars and suffering and cancer and all the terrible things that man has created. Man is suffering because he has made it so that he will suffer. He's brought it into being through his own stupidity, his own ignorance, his own foolishness, his own sense of ego and his own importance. And he doesn't realize that he is fundamentally only a spark in the divine heaven. He doesn't realize it is only a minute part of a great whole. And when he realizes that until he loses himself in love and in true service, he won't find real peace, real harmony, and real understanding. Man has got to change. And until he begins to change and think of change and bring change into being, there's no way out for him, only suffering. And whatever man suffers, he in some shape or form has brought it on himself. Now I'm going.
Mickey.
What?
What about a person being a blood donor and giving blood to save someone's life?
Well, it's your blood, and if you want to give a point of blood to help somebody, good luck to you, mate.
Thank you.
You're giving something away to help somebody else.
It is helping.
Well, yes, I see no reason, because you're giving of yourself.
Mm.
Well, anyway, as I said before, love one another. Mm. Christ said that. Mm. Love one another. It's the simplest thing, and the most wonderful thing, and perhaps in some ways the most difficult thing. But it's the only answer, and it's the only way. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.